Hi, this is A.S. Kyle with Blacklight Communication Strategies, an education and communication firm that provides you with the tools to help build, strengthen, and maintain your brand. Welcome back to Keep Calm and Work It Out. Today, I have something I'm really excited to talk about, and it is procrastination. So, I really want this platform to be more about communication than anything else, because I believe I've said it before and I'll say it again, communication is everywhere and communication is everything. So we're going to talk about procrastination. Give you a little bit of info, I guess, to kind of tie this back into communication. So remember, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you're always communicating. You know, it's impossible for you to not communicate for the most part. If you are lying in your bed, what are you communicating? You're communicating that you are tired, sleepy. Okay, think about that. A lot of things are going on at all times. Someone's talking and you're looking at them, you're communicating that I'm engaged. You're looking away, you're communicating that you're not engaged. If you fail to be of this world anymore, you're still communicating that you have gone to another plane. So procrastinators, you are communicating who, what, and how you are, and sometimes why you are that way. So let's jump into it. Think about some times that you procrastinated about something. It could have been an essay or a research paper that you had to do for school. Maybe it was going shopping, washing your clothes or your behind. Think about why you put things off. So we put things off or procrastinate for different reasons. One, which I feel is a little bit innocuous, is we got something better to do, or something is occupying our mind and we just don't want to stop living in that moment, in that realm, to do what it is that we need to do. I know when I go to bed, I always imagine what I'm going to do when I wake up in the morning. Wake up early, move some things around my room because I got books and luggage and stuff. Just things aren't where they need to be. But I wake up and you know what? I get right to work. Whether I'm planning for work or one of my hustles or something like that. But I go to work. I sleep with my laptop in the bed. And when I'm up, I just pop that sucker open and I get to work. So I'm procrastinating on getting a little more organization in my life. And it's because I'm occupied by other things. And I keep saying, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it. And what happens in the course of that procrastination cycle? Things begin to snowball. Slowly or quickly, but they begin to get worse. So the lack of organization I have, it begins to grow. You know, the couple of books that I had that were out of place is now about like 10 books that are out of place. A handful of papers is now like worth about a couple of books, you know, just papers and things like that. And now, guess what? When I look at it, it's now intimidating. And that's because I put it off. Instead of handling it when it was at a lower stage, now it's out of hand and intimidating. So I'm procrastinating even more because I don't want to get to it. But hopefully after this podcast, I'll come back and tell you that procrastination no longer lives in my bedroom and I'll get it all together. So that's one reason we procrastinate, because, you know, we're occupied by something else. Is that good? I look at it like this. I'm doing something else that is beneficial to me and to others right now and in the future, in the near as well as far future. So I'm not beating myself up about the lack of organization that I have, because I'm doing something else that needs to be done, or other things that need to be done. So it's whatever you want to think of it. It could be good, it could be bad. The truth of it is that stuff is piling up, so it needs to be handled. Regardless of the reasoning for it not getting done, it needs to be handled. And say you let it go for 6 months. Well, you know what? There's no time like the present. Get in there and get it done. I'm preaching to myself right now, by the way. So, what are some other reasons that we procrastinate? fear. We procrastinate because we fear. And what is it that we fear? The unknown. So think about in the dark. A lot of people will say that they're afraid of the dark. But are they really afraid of the dark? Or are they afraid of what they cannot see in the dark? What they don't know is in the dark. Because everybody knows the boogeyman lives in the dark. So of course they're afraid about that. But they don't know what he looks like or where he is. So I know if it's dark in my room, I'll turn off the lights and I'm gonna go run and jump in the bed, you know, because everybody also knows that, you know, the gremlins live underneath your bed. So I'll be damned, I'm not gonna be the one. But fear incapacitates us, man. It stifles us. We may not know something about a process, a procedure, an event, or any type of task. And you're not gonna learn anything about that task if you don't get in there. And a couple of things could happen. You'll make mistakes. Chances are those mistakes are fixable and you'll learn from them. Another thing is just the sheer learning of it. You might have everything that you need to be successful in that task, but you don't know if you don't try. And then what happens if you complete a task and you're like, oh, that was easier than I thought? It gives you a sense of pride. It should give you a sense of pride. And maybe you learned something you didn't know. You just added something to your worth, to your wheelhouse, okay? To your resume. So don't let fears keep you from doing something that's gonna move you to that next level. Because sometimes we fear that next level, don't we? Because it's so comfortable down here. I was telling a friend that if you are always the smartest person in the room, then you need to go to another room. You need to find another room. Because no one's ever going to be as smart as you in there, and you're always going to let them know that they are not as smart as you. But you don't want to go to that next room, because you know what? That next room kind of diminishes your capacity, your worth, if you look at it like that. Because now you're with people that are a little more on your level, maybe a little bit above your level. And if you're not used to being, you know, beneath someone's level, that's definitely going to make you take a hit. You're gonna feel that. But fears, making us procrastinate, put things off, not do them, it's not a good thing. Like maybe you have a fear of heights or a fear of flying or fear of spiders or something like that. That's understandable, but come on, do the work and start the work of overcoming those fears. I have a brother, actually, who does not fly, is afraid, deathly afraid of flying, and he's also claustrophobic. So when I talk to him about the different times that he had to fly, or one time he was doing a hearing test, and they had him in this room the size of a small closet, and he had a fit. He had to leave the door open, and he ended up not doing his test right, because with the door open, it allows for like external and ambient noises to come in there. And so I was just telling him, I was like, I understand that these fears are real, but at this point, what are you doing to fix them? Like, I really don't like when people say, this is how I am. Some things, absolutely, that's how you are. When we talk about establishing borders and non-negotiables, yes, those are things, that's how I am. I can accept that. But if it's something that prevents you from moving to the next level, I don't respect that. And I know that's judgment from my part. That's just how I am. No, but yes. I know, talking about my brother in particular, sorry, brother. I know he's missed out on, like, you know, thousands of dollars in raises and promotions because he has to get trainings and they have to fly to these trainings to different states or different cities. And with him not being willing to fly, he doesn't get to go to those trainings, and they're too far away to drive. So I always ask him, what are you going to do about it? You're just going to let it get worse and not better, or are you doing anything to make it better? I really have a problem with that. So understand what your fears are, and a really good example. When we're talking about flying and having fears of flying, and my wonderful, wonderful brother, I was telling him that I was listening to Whoopi Goldberg, and she was on Arsenio Hall years ago. God bless that man and his show. Like, I have so many memories of great guests and great interviews and just information that I got from the Arsenio Hall show back in the 90s. And it, so many things resonate within me from what I learned there. But anyway, Whoopi Goldberg was on there. And you know, Whoopi Goldberg and Aretha Franklin were notorious for not flying. If they were booked somewhere, they had to book them with enough time for them to travel in a bus across country. Whoopi finally overcame that fear. She talked with John Travolta, another actor, who is a licensed pilot. And he explained to her that things, you know, can go wrong, but you got to realize that the plane flies itself. The pilot is there to help it take off, to land it, and to maintain it while it's in the air in case anything, you know, off kilter happens. And finally, a pilot's job is to land that plane in the midst of adversity. If anything happens, that pilot is trained to land that plane in the field, in the ocean, in the woods. That's what they're there for. So I say that because it was this conversation that John Travolta had with Whoopi, and also like had her talk to some other pilots and stuff like that, that helped to restore her confidence, okay, and help her overcome her fear of flying. So now she flies when she goes places, and that's good. So the point on that is just overcoming a fear. Fear basically is that unknown. So by providing her more information about how planes work and the pilot's job, it made her at ease because now she has information. She's no longer in the unknown area about flying, about flight. So if you have something that you fear and that creates procrastination, get some information about that fear, and you'll probably learn that that fear is unfounded. It just comes from a lack of experience. And the more you experience something, the better it becomes. Think about the first time you drove or rode a bicycle or rode a skateboard or went roller skating. Okay. Once you show up, you're chipping away at that fear. Once you acquire information, you chip away at that fear. Now, some fears you have because you went through some things. Like maybe you were on a plane and it went down. God forbid. So I would understand that you have a fear of that. So bringing in my brother again, I just tell him, look at the numbers, the number of fatalities, casualties that happen in a plane. They're few and far between. You got to do the research and get some information. We have the internet at our fingertips. I highly suggest that you use it for anything more than just FaceTime and texting and stuff. But get the information from reputable sources, not from bobsblog.org.com. You know, get it from a reputable source, and it's going to calm your fears. It's going to still the waters. Oh, and I have another analogy about water coming up. Wait for that. All right, so that's about fear and procrastination. And I can just tell you to overcome those fears, because if you're putting off doing something that needs to be done, trust me, it's not going away. It's only going to grow, and it's affecting your life, and it's going to haunt you. And if it haunts you, you're not going to have a moment's peace. So handle your fears and get to the procrastination, whatever you're procrastinating on. Get to it. And you know what? Then it'll be in your rearview mirror, and it no longer haunts you, because check it off your list. That task is done. So think about that and move through life with a little less fear. So related to it, it's still fear, but sometimes we fear failing. So we put things off, right? You don't want people to know how human you are sometimes, and you're afraid to fail. You're afraid to speak. You're afraid to submit something. You're afraid of going somewhere, doing something, because you think that you won't be successful at it. How low is your self-esteem? Show up to the battlefield And if you're a believer, you know that if you show up to the battlefield, God is going to slay the dragon for you. You just got to get there with faith, courage, and humility. Realize that you're human and you're not going to be successful at every single thing that you try. And if you're like me, I've always tended to give up on things if I couldn't catch it like right away, because I feel definitely a jack of all trades and a master of only one, communication, and a master of myself. Yes, cool. But it's about what you know and how much you're willing to grow. So if you fear that you're going to be unsuccessful, why don't you prepare yourself? Huh? Prepare yourself. You think you're not going to get a job? Go ahead and apply for that job, but prepare. I remember my last job interview that I went for. I was so nervous. I hadn't done it before. It was a teaching job, actually. And I had been in education for about 6 years prior to me applying to be a teacher. I went through, you know, working on my certification or whatever, got my degree in communication, and pretty good at communicating and interviews. But before I went in there, I YouTubed like a bunch of stuff. Questions that they'll ask potential teachers in an interview. What type of response should I give? What type of questions should I ask? And I practiced. I practiced. I watched more videos. I read more articles and essays. And I practiced. And I remember getting out that car and walking up to that interview. And it sounds weird, but when I feel like I'm going to be successful at something, I feel really tall. Like my college graduation, I felt really tall. Another job interview I had, I remember just walking, you know, onto the campus, and I just felt so tall. I'm about 5'5", but I just had this weird thing, and I know it sounds crazy, but I feel like I'm 5'10". I just feel so tall. And every time I have that feeling, I go in and I just wreck shop. And so that's what I did on this last interview, is I went in and I wrecked shop. And the lady told me, she was like, well, okay, I'm just letting you know now that we're going to continue to interview for another couple of weeks. We have to. And then I'll let you know after that. So I said, okay, that's fine. But I'm just nervous. They started checking my references before I was out of the parking lot. And the next day, someone called me from Human Resources and says that all your references aren't responding. You need to talk to them and let them know to respond because we're processing your application. And I'm like, is that a good thing that you're processing my application? And she goes, it's a really good thing, Mr. Cobb. So I got on the phone and I called all my references, and lickety split, they were done. So the next day they called to offer me the job, and the director of Human Resources says, Mr. Cobb, I'm gonna give you 24 hours to think about this. And I said, no, I don't need 24 hours, because before I left there, I had in my mind what I wanted to do. And I've already created my lesson plans, booked my guest speakers, and field trips for the first semester. So I don't need your 24 hours, sir, I will take your job. And he's like, the principal that interviewed you, she was supposed to interview for 2 more weeks and she stopped interviewing after your interview. I'm like, yeah. He's like, so that's why I want to give you 24 hours, because the search has stopped with you. And if you say yes now and you decide that you don't want it later on, we're going to be a little pissed, to be honest. And I was like, don't you worry about that. Little did he know, I needed a job so bad, and I just felt like it was landed there to me. But point was, I went in there fully prepared. I had copies of my resume, copies of my cover letter, copies of my references. And I had talking points, and I listened, I was engaged, I was prepared. So was I fearful? Yes, I was, until I became prepared. Preparation can beat procrastination. I didn't wait to get the information. Or I didn't wait to get to the job interview to ask, so what about this school? What do y'all do here? No, I learned about the school. I was running off so many facts to her. Like, she just stopped writing and just sat back and crossed her arms, just looking and smiling. Because I was prepared, and that helped overcome my fear. And I got the job. 7 years later, here I am. And yes, it's been really, really good. I was teacher of the year 1 year on the superintendent's advisory board, served on several committees, and I just do a lot because I really love what I do. So that was a little bit of a brag on myself, and I didn't intentionally do that, but I was hoping to like tie it back into what we're talking about today. Just preparing yourself, and that's gonna get you away from procrastination, because fear will lead to procrastination. And fear of not being successful, that's in your hands. That's in your hands. That's in your hands. That's in your hands. That is in your hands and nobody else's. If you think you're going to be unsuccessful, arm yourself with every possible tool that you are going to need to not fail, to not be unsuccessful. That's on you. And no one else is responsible for that. Another thing, if that makes sense, let's just wrap that up. Just make sure that you prepare yourself, overcome your fears, and go into a situation with confidence. And you'll feel as tall as I feel when I feel. And I'm about to rock something, rip it up. All right, so the last thing that I'll touch on today about procrastination is just sheer laziness. Sheer laziness. And you know what? I actually am a victim of that as well. I don't like the term victim, but for lack of a better term, I'm a victim. Sometimes I'll say I'm just tired. Sleep to me is like a drug. I will sleep rather than smoke or drink anything. Trust and believe. And my friends, they know I take naps, but I don't think that they are nearly aware of nearly how much I take naps or need naps or how much I sleep. Very seldom will you catch me unrested or, you know, not rested enough. So laziness, that's another one of you things. You've got to get over it. But think about this. If you're feeling lazy, tired, listless, run down, do you poop out at parties? I Love Lucy reference. But if you're feeling lethargic, lazy, you might need to go see someone. So before you go see someone, you know, see if pushing yourself is going to help. Get some accountability. Get an accountability partner. You know that you have a 25 paper due for your senior thesis and you are not fearful of it. You're just lazy and don't want to get to it. Make sure you communicate it with someone that you need to get this done in this time frame. Like, you need to have so many pages done by this date and so many pages by this date, and make sure that they, you know, are trustworthy enough to where they can hold you accountable and push you. Because with no accountability, that laziness is a mofo. So be accountable. That's one of the best things to overcome laziness. Another thing is get some physicality in your life. Do yoga. Go to YouTube. Find someone doing yoga. Follow along with them. Maybe you want to do aerobics. I don't know how many people do aerobics these days, but do aerobics. Take a walk inside or outside. Ride a bicycle. Wash your car. Cut the lawn. Sweep and mop the house. Something, but do something. Get some type of activity to get your blood flowing, okay? To get your joints loosened up. And kind of just get everything moving so it gets you out of your head and out of that sedentary space. Don't let laziness cause you to procrastinate on things. And then you always hear people say, oh, I work well under pressure. That's a procrastinator and a lazy one at that. Okay? Because some people, yes, they do work well under pressure. But imagine if they had a task and they had 3 weeks to do the task. Imagine if they completed that task at week one. So you got 2 weeks to perfect it, as opposed to you've had 3 weeks and it's due tomorrow and you stay up all night long working on it. you haven't had a chance to hone it. You're going to look back on it and you're going to hate yourself. You're going to be so upset at the mistakes that you made. One, because you were tired and your eyes were crossing. And you know, sometimes looking at the computer, then your hand hit a key and you look up and you got like 400 Z's on the paper, because that's what you needed, was some Z's. So anything can happen at the last minute. So prepare ahead of time. Don't be lazy. Overcome that laziness. And finally, if that physicality doesn't help, the accountability doesn't help, then you need to go see a medical professional. Okay, go see your general physician or get a referral to someone in psych. Doesn't mean that you're crazy, you know, just means that you might be a little bit out of sorts. And there's chemicals in our brain that, you know, allow us to operate, help us to operate, and dictate how we operate sometimes. And sometimes we need a little something to tweak those things. Another thing that'll help before you start taking medicine or whatever, we're talking about the physicality. Maybe you might need to go see a chiropractor. And I say that because my experience at the chiropractor was amazing. It had been about 25 years since I had been to a chiropractor. And I went to see him 3 days a week. It did so much for me. One, having that routine was really good for me, especially during, you know, the shutdown. So I knew that I had to be out of the house and up there at the clinic to get my back, you know, and neck manipulated and stuff. And I would leave there and I just felt so good. And you know what? I'm already out of the house. So things that I probably didn't want to do, like grocery shopping, there was a grocery store right across the street from the chiropractor. So I would get my grocery shopping done, go to Walmart or something, you know, just work my way back home and just do all the stops that I needed to do. And then I can come back home and be a computer geek if I want to, or focus on things at the house. But so yeah, a chiropractor would be really good. And massage is good. Bob Hope lived a long time. I believe Bob Hope was well over 90, close to 100, maybe 100. I can be looking it up right now, but and I guess I will. But Bob Hope said the secret to his longevity was massages. He got a job, a massage, every day. Okay, so he died in 2003, born in 1903. So, and he had just made 100. All right, cool. So Bob Hope, one of the most successful entertainers that we've had in my time, he literally said that was one of the keys to his longevity. So if you know anything about massage, or if you don't, look it up. But massage manipulates your muscles and it moves your blood around and it gets stagnant energy moving. Sometimes people can be constipated or something after a massage. You know, they're just like passing gas and passing waste. Whew, almost went to a very dark place there. But yeah, because the massage, it just moves some things. If you're not moving, you got to get those things moving. You got to get those muscles moving. You got to get those veins, you know, taken care of. You know, let somebody put hands on your body and, you know, not in a disgusting way. Keep it cool. But yeah, definitely get that and see how that works for you. So then if you tried all of those other things, now let's double back to going to get some pills or something. See if they can prescribe something for you, but don't go in there just looking for pills. Just ask them, what do they suggest based on what you've shared with them and what they've observed? What would they suggest? And they may suggest, you know, hey, go take a class in the evening. Take a crafts class. Start scrapbooking. Go walking. Go running, jogging. Join a walking club or something. Start a blog or a podcast using anchor.fm. So, yes. Bottom line, all of that I can tell you, procrastination is not a good thing. Oh, I just want to go in so many different directions, but I'm going to try to keep focused there and wrap this up. Procrastination, it's mostly about fear. Overcome your fears by getting educated about them, facing them, overcoming them, and finding ways around them. Okay. Don't be afraid to fail. Definitely don't be afraid to succeed, but don't be afraid to fail. And if you are afraid to fail, arm yourself with the knowledge, information, and tools that you need to not fail. to be successful. No one can do that for you. Okay? If you are who you say you are, time to show up. One of my favorite songs by Lupe Fiasco. If you are what you say you are, a superstar. Before I go, I would like to kindly and humbly ask you to not forget to please comment, like, subscribe to this podcast. Keep calm and work it out. Also, remember to check out Black Light Communication Strategies. It's a communication and education firm that arms you with the tools to help build, strengthen, and maintain your brand. www.blacklightcommunication.buzz. That's blacklightcommunication.buzz. I'll see you in the next podcast.